Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Well, as Edward Snowden is meeting with those human rights officials, as you just heard, in the Moscow airport, the documents he leaked continue to make more headlines. The latest set of revelations published in the Guardian newspaper in the UK detail the extent to which Microsoft worked with the NSA to make data from Outlook and Hotmail and Skype accessible to the security agency. They also highlight the complicated regulations Silicon Valley executives run into as they try to make their products security compliant. Steve Blank is author of the online series and blog, The Secret History of Silicon Valley, at steveblank.com, and he joins me now. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Steve, Microsoft and other companies contended when the news of PRISM first came out, the stuff that Ed Snowden leaked, that they didn't know what PRISM was and they weren't cooperating. But that's far from the truth.
It's one of these catch-22s. It turns out that the Patriot Act has a kind of a gotcha clause in there, Section 215, that says whoever gets that order from the government is prohibited from disclosing the fact that they got the order. So it's your First Amendment and your Fourth kind of go out with that.
So they all lied, but they were legally bound to lie, in other words.
It sure seems that way, doesn't it?
Okay. Well, let's drill down on Microsoft a little bit, because we're getting new details now about the extent to which Microsoft cooperated with the NSA to make its Outlook email client and certainly Hotmail, which we all know about, Skype, all more accessible to the NSA. Can you give us an idea of, sort of on the technical side, what exactly Microsoft did to make that easier? It must have been some hard decisions for them, or maybe it wasn't.
Well, you know, if you look at just the PRISM slide, it shows Microsoft being the first provider of information to the NSA in September 11th, 2007. So they've been working with them since then. I think the most interesting thing is, obviously, they acquired Skype since then, and it appears that they've made that available. Which Skype promised would never happen. The other interesting thing was some of the comments that were released said they, in fact, bypassed the encryption completely and get at the plain text, which really means that there's stuff on your computer or there's ways that they're actually getting the data before it's encrypted, and that's a little frightening as well. By the way, if when they get Outlook, that means they're not only getting your email, they also have your calendar,
your schedule,
everything you're gonna do. So right. It's not only what you did, but if they want to know where you're gonna be, you just sent them kind of your next month.
Steve Blank, you and I are speaking on Skype right now. Skype was supposed to be unimpregnable by intelligence agencies. Not the case. What does it take to make a Skype chat listenable by a spy?
Well, you could either decrypt the stream, or you could just get at the unencrypted sides on your computer. And it looks like the Microsoft has given them access to be able to do that. I think the surprising thing was the amount of cooperation from Microsoft, not what NSA wanted to do, but in fact that these companies actively participated in doing this and then told us otherwise.
I want to ask you about that dynamic, because it's one thing to be ordered under the Patriot Act to get a national security letter or an order and then be legally bound to lie about it. Okay, you can face your customers on that issue. But how does Microsoft now sell security, sell privacy, sell encryption when it's so clear that those things are so easily circumvented with its help?
Well, it becomes a little harder after these disclosures, doesn't it? I think the takeaway for all Americans kind of after this disclosure is there isn't any type of communication you do in the United States that's yours, including anything on your smartphone, anything you put in the mail. I think the other disclosures that were equally troubling as every piece of mail, physical mail you put in the post office. They take copies of the envelope and where it's going and who it came from. I think the other interesting thing for me was looking at the PRISM slides is the NSA had, you know, legal firewall between them and these companies because it was all going through a unit of the FBI. I just thought those slides were absolutely amazing on both the breadth and the process that we're gathering all this data.
Right before we let you go, Steve Blank, you have made the remark that I've seen that we are beyond Orwell in your view.
Yeah, from a technologist's point of view, this is pretty sweet. We nailed every possible form of communication from technology, but you couldn't have written a science fiction story that had at least Americans waking up to find out that their Fourth and First Amendments are gone and that everything they do is being collected.
This is not science fiction, Steve Blank. This is real life, and this story is going to continue to be written. Steve Blank, author of the online series blog, The Secret History of Silicon Valley. You can read it at steveblank.com. Steve, thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Speaking of Microsoft, remember that sound? How does that make you feel? That, you know what that is. That's the startup sound from Windows 95. And we're trying to take you back a couple of decades here. We started a conversation yesterday about nostalgia, what it does to us and why sometimes it's good for us. You've been telling us about the music that makes you nostalgic and the memories that they bring for you. And this listener told us about the song that we're hearing right now.
My name is Wilfred Rivera. I'm from St. Cloud, Florida. And my favorite song of all time is The First True Love Affair. It's by Jimmy Roth. It reminds me of my wife.
A listener in Bel Air, Maryland writes, "The Platters, smoke gets in your eyes, slow dancing at the first boy-girl party. Heaven." We were inundated with your heavenly memories. Music seems to open the flood of those past moments.
Joan from New Jersey, Peter, Paul, and Mary would take me back to the 60s when I was in high school. Folk music, war protests, Vietnam, says it all.
Huh? The magic dragon, live by the sea. Sing it with us and frolic in.
This is Paul from Jersey City. The theme from the movie A Summer Place makes me think of some of the happiest times of my life. The summers of 1959, 1960, 1961. And even now, I use that theme as the ringtone on my mobile phone from the beginning of summer until winter.
Lots of you have those summertime memories.
This is Lorraine and Davey. My favorite song, especially this time of year, is The Boys of Summer by Don Henley. When I hear this song, I feel like I'm driving around with my top down.
A little voice inside my head said, don't look back, you can never look back.
Well, coming up next, a former inmate looks back at more than two decades spent in solitary confinement. That's right here on The Takeaway.